Our reading today comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, reading verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs him, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of them and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord.
So today is Palm Sunday, and it's always struck me as being one of the great celebrations of the Christian year. Not as great as Easter or as Christmas, yet it's always a time of great joy and great celebration, as echoed in some of the music that we've had this morning. And as we look today at Jesus riding into Jerusalem, we're going to focus on four things. We shall look to the past to see why so many people had gathered and why they were in such a good mood. And we shall look to the present to explore how we should listen for God's prompting and commands. And we shall look to the future, because this is a picture of what is to come. And we shall also look at what is hidden, because as the last days of Jesus on earth came to an end, some amazing possibilities open up before our very eyes. The first thing that strikes you about Palm Sunday is the story of Jesus entering Jerusalem on a donkey, surrounded by crowds of excited people. And I find myself asking, why did the crowds turn up? I don't think they gathered just to see Jesus. I think they started to come together because the great Jewish festival of Passover is just a week away, and they have come to celebrate. What are they celebrating? Why such a fuss about Passover? Passover is important to this very day because it marks the foundation of the nation of Israel. So everywhere at Passover time, Jews look back to the time when they were slaves in Egypt, stuck in a situation they couldn't get out of, when Moses came on the scene. And Moses told the people, "God is going to release you from your bondage. He will set you free, and you will go to a land which will become your own, and you will never be slaves again." And finally, after months of negotiation with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, they were able to get out. They had to be ready and they had to be quick. There was one final obstacle to freedom. In front of them was the Red Sea. And as they reached the shore, they realized that Pharaoh's police were after them. But God had an answer. A strong wind parted the water just as they arrived, and they made it through. At that point, the wind abated and the waters closed behind them, finally cutting them off from the Egyptian authorities forever. Ever since, once a year, the Jews have celebrated their deliverance with a Passover meal. And there are two aspects of the celebration. One is to look back at God's deliverance of the past, and the other is to look forward to the time when the Messiah will come and set the world to rights. For although they gained freedom from slavery in Egypt, there have nearly always been times of political instability and a yearning for the world to be a better place. And so to this day, Jewish people, once per year, celebrate Passover. And often, like last year, for example, it's at the same time as Easter. This year, Passover comes on April the 23rd, so it's out of sync this year. But each year they say to each other, next year we hope to celebrate in Jerusalem. So it's not surprising that even today, Jerusalem gets a little bit busy at Passover time. So as Jesus and his disciples reach the top of the Mount of Olives, almost in sight of Jerusalem, the excitement mounts. They could see the city. They were nearly there, yet not without some anxiety, because some of them feel that he's going to his death. Then he says, go and find me a donkey. Wow. The Lord sometimes tells us to do some strange things. And you wonder what it's all about. Like the other day, I got this kind of message coming through my mind. Phone your friends Gordon and Molly. And, you know, when something like that happens, you tend to argue with the Lord and you say, well, why do you want me to phone them? Then you get the message coming back, go on, do it. And as it happened, unknown to me, Molly was due to go into hospital and needed a friend. And she said, I was just praying that somebody would help. And then she said, you must be an angel. So I sort of wondered if I was sprouting wings or something, you know, over the phone and all that, but there we are. Sometimes the word of the Lord doesn't seem to make sense. Why do you want a donkey when you're surrounded by all these crowds? The animal will get spooked. Somebody's going to get hurt. But then, as happens so often after the event, it all made sense. There was Jesus riding down the hill on the donkey, and the crowds immediately remembered a verse of scripture from Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And they also sang words taken from Psalm 118 and verse 26. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. And they added, Hosanna to the Son of David, which comes over to us as an ascription of praise. But at the time, it was a bit more subversive. Hosanna means save now. And any Roman officials standing by would have considered putting the occupying forces on high alert when they heard those words. But of course the crowds were right. Jesus had come to save, but not from the Romans, but from the greater threat of sin against his heavenly Father. The disciples must have been somewhat amazed. They had anticipated a trip to Jerusalem, and now Jesus was entering the city. If it had been today, it would have been with the red carpet and flags and banners. But at the time, they used what they had to hand, palm branches and cloaks, to give a right royal welcome. So was Jesus now to be crowned king? A king? Well, yes, but not as we know kingship. As Jesus said to Pontius Pilate later that week, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is from another place. So Jesus entered Jerusalem and began a process of readjustment of the status quo. Throughout the week, we find him resetting the agenda. And the key phrase to note comes from his prayer in Gethsemane, where he says to his Father God, not my will, but yours be done. And it's a prayer that many of us will have echoed from time to time when we face some impossible odds. And it's a very safe prayer to pray because we put everything into God's hands. And we know from experience that he knows best. Very important prayer for us as we commit our own way of life to God. Not my will, but yours be done. And we see this in action as he enters the temple, overturning the tables of the money changers. My house is not for profit, but for prayer. Even in the temple, there was a need to refocus on what was important. Now, in the church that I grew up in, I used to worry about this because we were always raising money with sales of work and rummage sales, which had got a lot of people inside the building, yet was never any mention of the Lord of the church, our Saviour Jesus Christ. It was a great way of recycling second-hand goods, but it did little for the promotion of the gospel of Jesus. It used to worry me. Not my will, but yours be done. We see it again when Jesus disputes with the Pharisees, as he constantly points out that vigilance for keeping the letter of the law is no substitute for compassion and kindness. Gosh, that's true, isn't it? And we find him modelling Micah 6 and verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And so once again we see Jesus resetting the agenda. Not my will, but yours be done. We see it again as he washes the disciples' feet. His model of leadership is not autocratic or tyrannical or oppressive, but is based on enabling and on service, on aid and on support. He is above all a giver of compassion. Not my will, but yours be done. Primarily, his willingness to go to the cross in order to achieve something that we could never do. He made atonement for our sin. Yes, well, we can apologize and we can confess, we can admit, but somehow that blot seems to remain. On the cross, the blot was erased. And by confessing and by looking to the cross, we know that our wrongdoing is no longer visible to God, and that we will therefore be welcome in his presence. And of course, none of this was visible to the people coming to Jerusalem on that day. They were simply excited to be there, to celebrate the Passover. And in the midst of it all, there was Jesus riding regally on a donkey. And it was just like the prophet had foretold. He came to reset the agenda, to mend a broken system, to restore fellowship with God, to redeem the lost. And the icing on the cake is that one day he will come again, next time in the power of God to reign forever. How then can we not sing praises to God? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. What a welcome. What a different kind of king. Let's give him the honour that he is due.